It's like a couple of songs.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the life and health and strength, Lord, to be able to be out here this evening and for the faithfulness of each of the souls that are here. And I pray that you would bless us, Lord, and watch over us. Just take and use this time in our hearts and minds. Please be with those that aren't here, Lord. For whatever the reason, I pray that you would deliver them their daily bread. And Father, I just thank you for loving us and for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for your word, for your Son, and for your ear at any time of the day or night, Lord, for all the things that you give us and bless us with. Lord, please be one of our number during the service and help us this day, I pray. Amen. Amen. Do you have a hymn that you'd like for us to sing this evening, Lord? Hymn book?
Hymn book.
23, I think that's... we sang that this morning?
No, it was here. There was a poem in the book. No, it's 23. 35, 36. 27.
That is... The Old Rugged Cross. Sounds good to me. 27, The Old Rugged Cross.
So, well sung in this book, because it's that, all thumb marks.
That's all well here, do you mind?
I don't care.
got one, Mrs. Finn?
211.
211.
Now we have sung it, but if you're not comfortable, I'll come up with another one.
You'll come up and sing it from the front?
Sure. Talking to the wrong person.
211. I think I know this.
Yeah.
211. Whosoever needeth me. If you're a fit folks, what is
this? I actually gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah, right, here's the names, in Ephesdammon. And Saul and the men of Israel were pitched together, and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there came out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's about 9 feet. 9.5 feet. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and the target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were greatly dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had eight sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next to him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. I think that's about us, isn't it? And we will continue on there whenever we're doing our Bible reading for the lesson. Amen. Nearly got that. I was nearly going to go on there. I was getting all carried away. Amen. All right. Let's go to the black book and we'll sing number 11, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. We'll stand for this one. Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Let's make a joyful noise. Thank you. at 2 Samuel, or 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll continue reading on from where we were. And I just want to bring you a few thoughts on the subject of all the days. All the days. So we're back at 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're reading from verse number 32. There's 26 or 27 verses to read. And this is, in effect, the destruction or the killing of Goliath by David and all the goings on behind it. Let's read. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, and caught him by his beard, and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he is said to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with spears?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David unto the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took out his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and of Judah arose, and shouted, and pursued the Philistines, until they came to the valley of and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner,
Whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite. Amen. Few verses there that are that always come to mind whenever we're doing this, but most importantly, it's verses 34 and 35 and 36 and 37. And I always like verse 45, where David shouts to Philistine and shows him all the stuff that he puts his faith in is going to mean nothing against God. So, amen. All the days before. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this little bit of time, Lord. I pray that you would speak to us and encourage us and remind us of all of the things that we have heard and remembered just whenever we need them, Lord. Thank you for all your many helps and blessings. And we leave this at your feet, Lord. And we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And also, Lord, that you would bless the teachers and the preachers of your word, wherever it's being taught and preached, Lord. Today or at any time, Lord. And the hearers of it. Leave these things at your feet, pray that you would grant them according to your will, Father. Amen. 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 All the days that went before, or all the days before. I'm not going to go over and rehash all of that again. The point that I really want to think about is just a few verses after our reading, where David has spoken to the soldiers, his brothers first of all, when he sees Goliath come out and taunt the armies of Israel. Because he was like 9.5 foot tall. He was a man of war from his youth. I have heard people say that his bones were soft and that's why the slingshot sunk into his forehead. But he was a man of war from his youth. If his bones were soft, he wouldn't have been able to carry all that weight and the armor and hold a spear like a weaver's beam. That's like one of those 4x4 posts that we quite happily slap into the ground with a hammer. He was a hard man, and he was used to killing people, and that's just the long and short of it. But he bargained, the Philistines bargained on the size of Goliath and the imposing stature of Goliath to win them the battle. And as David said in verse 45, you come at me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Not in the name of the armies, but the God of the armies. And David wasn't depending upon God to pull a rabbit out of the hat. Have you ever seen some of those slingshots firing a stone? The slingshot would be 2, maybe 3 foot long. When we talk about slingshots, we think about catapults some of the time. But the slingshot was normally a piece of leather, two pieces of leather about that size, with a pouch at one end. And the guys would swing it around, and they could be accurate up to a couple of hundred yards. I've seen some of the guys in YouTube firing. And whenever those things hit, they hit like a bullet. The speed that they leave, they just release one end of those leather straps, and that thing goes in the direction. And those guys, the guys that fire slingshots, they are insanely accurate. You should look it up on YouTube, guy firing a slingshot. But David wasn't dependent on God to send lightning down or to suddenly imbue him with great strength to meet this guy toe-to-toe. David was depending on all of the days that he had spent with God up until that point and his faith in God to beat the Philistine. Because, strangely enough, David had to kill a lion and a bear. David was a shepherd,
He was charged with looking after the sheep. That means he went out before the sheep. He led the sheep by, as the Lord's My Shepherd says, beside still waters so that they could drink their fill. He led them to good pastures so that they could eat their fill. He tended to them. I'm sure he had a wee bag with ointments and things like that, because sometimes sheep get parasites and they leave open wounds which will kill the sheep in the end. And he had to look after that. And even at night he had a sword and he had a slingshot. And he was charged with keeping wolves and lions and bears from just running through the flock and destroying them. And so David says, I'll go out against the Philistine. And everybody else is saying, but he's like 9.5 foot tall. And he's a man of war from his youth. And you are only a youth. In other words, how even could your experience enable you to stand against this Philistine, this giant of a man? And David gives him his experience. His first experience is walking with God. And he said, this is what God saw me through in my time as a shepherd. A bear came and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him. And I hit him with the slingshot, or I hit him with the sword. And I took the lamb out of its mouth. In other words, he stumbled or hit it hard enough to stop it in its tracks and took the lamb out of its mouth. And he said there was a lion as well, did exactly the same. And whenever I took the lamb out of its mouth, it rose up against me. And I caught it by the beard. Instead of running away, he just stepped in and caught it by the beard. And I wouldn't like to be doing that, because cats are fast, whether they're big cats or small cats, they're fast. And he caught it and struck it with a sword and killed it. And he said, the same God that delivered me out of the hands of the lion and the bear will deliver me out of the hands of the Philistine. The Bible doesn't talk about David being injured at all, but it does talk about his faith in God and his past experience. And so, Saul says, take my sword, take my armor, take my helmet. David put them on, like, and almost same, being a size or two smaller than everybody else. And Saul was a big guy. He was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. He couldn't go. He wasn't used to working on it. And it wasn't Saul's armor that saw him through sorting out the lion and the bear. It was the Lord. And he said, I'm going to go with what I know. And he just went out the way he had gone out to look after the sheep. He just went out to look after the sheep of Israel, the flock of Israel. And he took the wee stone and he slung this slingshot round and round and he let it go. And the thing hit Goliath in the forehead and stunned him and knocked him out to the ground. And he ran over and he took his sword out and he cut his head off, and all the Philistines ran for their lives. And it was a great victory. A great victory. But it wasn't by military strategy. And it wasn't by the strength of his arm. It was doing what he had normally done. Trusting in the Lord and using the things that he was familiar with. Now there is a lesson there. First of all, just being born again doesn't make you fit to fight every spiritual battle you're ever going to come across. It makes you born again. It makes you a babe in Christ. Born again, a new creature in Christ, that just like a baby foal has to find its feet, get onto its feet, and learn how to walk. And whenever you come across temptation, or temptation comes looking for you, the Bible puts it very aptly when it says, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary the lion walketh about like a roaring. Your adversary the devil walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It will come and find you. You don't have to go looking for trouble. Trouble will come and find you. And it will not be bolts of lightning and Herculean strength that come down from heaven and make you like Hercules or someone Hercules. wrong continent. That make you like Samson, super fast and super strong. It will be your faith in Christ and all the lessons that you have heard up until that time, of all your Christian experience up until that time, will enable you to win. Will enable you to withstand, as the Bible says, about temptation or escape. Whenever David was in the wilderness with the sheep, we have that much of the Bible. We have in mine, it's about 400 pages. That's how much of the Bible there was. It was basically the Pentateuch, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And there would have been people, even back then, and we have them in the Bible, that were prepared to put their faith in God and obey God and apply those rules to their lives, and David was one of them. The Word of God calls David a man after God's own heart. He was called the apple of God's eye. You're talking about an individual that was prepared to honor his father, his parents, and go out into the wilderness as the youngest and look after the sheep, and probably the most dangerous job there was. But it was all his time on his own that he was able to spend with God in prayer, doing his job, that prepared him for this very day. And it will be all of your Bible reading. It will be all of your Sunday school hymns. It will be all of the Bible verses that you ever commit to your heart. It will be all the time that you have spent on your hands and knees in the presence of God, calling out to God and confessing your failures to God, and even just spending time in God, that will enable you to stand against the devil as you live your life. Your faithfulness. When God sees your faithfulness, that's all of those things that will give you the peace and the assurance in your soul, the direction and health in your endeavors. If you were to speak to a soldier, it wasn't pulling on his boots and pulling on his fatigues and his shirt and throwing the backpack that help a soldier through any given situation. It's the months of training. It is the experience after that. It's the good food. It is the exercise. It is everything that comes together to enable him to survive while going to war. And it is the same as a Christian. It's the days and weeks and months spent in the presence of God, learning about him, putting it into practice in your life, that enables you to stand when the devil comes knocking. So whenever he does, you and I will have every word that we need. We will have the direction that we need to go. We will even have the right attitude. Instead of twisting their neck and their head off their shoulders, we'll be able to speak to some of them. All the things that we need, even the ministrations of angels, we will have everything we need when the rubber meets the road. It's your all, that's not the day that you have your battle with the devil. It's all the days that you spent with God up until that time. It's all the smaller skirmishes that you have with the world, the flesh, and the devil, that opened your eyes to exactly what's going on, that showed you that you needed to depend on God. It is all of those that make you ready for the big one, for the latest one. And I honestly think that's why a lot of Christians are not where they should be. Even myself included, definitely not where I should be. I can always spend more time in prayer and committing a few more Bible verses to memory and writing out a few more sermon outlines and speaking to a few more people. But there's a reason God said to be in church. There's a reason God said to study his word. There's a reason God said to come before him in prayer. There's a reason God said to speak to people, to preach the gospel. It's because it prepares us for
for more service, for deeper service, for harder service. Just in the same way as David was being prepared in the weeks and months and years that led up to his going to war with Goliath. I know it's not a pleasant thing. The old mind doesn't want to be occupied, especially with the Word of God, because a lot of times it's very dry. But whenever you're reading it, if you ever come across a verse that you think is really neat, put a line around it or underline it and write it down in a wee notebook and memorize it, because you obviously needed it for something. And I guarantee you, it'll not be very long before you're called upon to use those scriptures to prove a point and to send the devil packing. It's not what you do in the day that makes you the Christian or indeed the person that you are. It is all the things that you do on the days up to that day. It is all the days that go before that make you the person and the Christian that you are today. I think that's about me. Short message this evening. Hope it was a help to you. God bless you. Let's sing another song now and be dismissed. Got another one marked in here. Hymn number 19, my favourite service finishing song. God be with you until we meet again. Amen. Hymn number 19, let's stand as we sing. God be with you until we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again.
good time. God bless you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being one of our number. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for all the messages that we've gotten from. And let us remember, Lord, to keep going and to keep learning and to keep pointing in the right direction. Please, Lord, watch over those that aren't with us, those that aren't well. I pray that you would restore them to health and fellowship and strength. More importantly, Lord, we pray for your will to be done. Please protect Israel. Please, I pray, protect President Trump and his family and his supporters, Lord, as they endeavour to get him to run the country properly instead of run it into the ground. And I pray the same for Nigel Farage and his family and his supporters, Lord, as they endeavour to do the same. Please handle the devil at every turn, Lord. Oppose those that curse Israel and bless those that bless Israel, Lord. And we love you and praise you. And please see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. And I pray for wisdom and wherewithal to get all the things done that we have in front of us this week and to spare a word for, well, Lord, for anybody that will care for this. We love you and praise you and we leave it at your feet and pray that you will grant it according to your will, Lord. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.